welcome to a brand new episode of the Electric Podcast, a special episode because it's especially about the Tesla Cybertruck. Since Seth is joining me live from, Seth is joining me live from the LA airport, really, LAX, because he just left.
LAX.
He just left the Tesla event in Hawthorne. Since you were there, Seth, your first impression right away?
So the truck itself is like it's stunning. Like it's the stainless steel. It's interesting they had the DeLorean from Back to the Future outside, and I remember talking to Jamie about how the stainless steel was an interesting material to use, and that's the exact same material what's on a DeLorean is on the Cybertruck. So that means a couple things. One, like, are they going to be able to have colors? Is it just going to be one color, or are they going to have accents or something like that? Tons of questions, tons of things. I don't even think I've read the specs yet. So
we can go.
Where do we even start?
Well, we can go into that because that was the big question, of course. He's been promising a 400 to 500 mile option, which he delivered on with a 500 mile option. But the biggest question was going to be the base spec for the base price, which was supposed to be under $50,000. The base spec is 250 miles of range with a single motor rear-wheel drive powertrain. And that version starts at $39,900, which, in my opinion, was the biggest surprise of the whole event. I don't know about you.
By far. I mean, the kind of energy was sapped out of the room. I don't know if you could tell from from the live stream, but when Franz threw the metal thing through the, I mean, that's the elephant in the room, right? Like when he threw the thing through the window, and then like in a fit of like strange behavior, he threw it through the other window, and I was in the front row center, like everybody was like, it was like literally the air was out of the room. In a way, it's funny. These guys are billionaires and they're very successful, so we don't feel bad for them. Although,
but
man, that was,
I thought they were gonna play it off because Elon did say, "Well, at least it didn't go through." So I thought they were gonna play it off like that's normal that it would do that. But the goal is that it actually doesn't go through, which it would in other cars, which is a fair point. But no, they were really like, "Oh, that wasn't supposed to happen at all."
No. That was definitely not supposed to happen. And the rest of the show was like kind of hurt because, Elon was obviously really upset about that.
Oh,
which, he should have been.
Yeah, I thought he didn't seem too upset about it. But that was my impression from the live stream.
I mean, it's hard to tell because, he's a little bit of a,
poker
his
face.
Stage presence isn't. Yeah, it's just a. But, maybe it was just the audience because it got dead quiet in there after that. And, I was sitting in I was front row center, and all around me were like the people who were like, hey, we love you, Elon. Mm-hmm.
There were so many Etlers. It was annoying. So many people were heckling.
Yeah, it was
the whole presentation. I mean, let people.
Yeah, it was.
Listen.
It was really, really bad. So, all the people in that area were just like, I mean, I think there might have been a woman crying when it happened, and she was like, she was saying Franz, like it was very strange. Anyway, going back to the price, that was kind of what woke people up again, I guess. It was very strange that we were in a weird place because I couldn't believe that he actually threw the ball into the window and it like shattered. And like basically for the rest of the presentation, we were just looking at two shattered windows behind Elon.
It would be nice if they had one of those turntable kind of stand for vehicles
where they could have switched the vehicle
side or something. Because it wasn't a good visual for the rest of the presentation. But then you felt the energy change again once they announced the price.
The price got everybody kind of hyped up again because everybody was like, oh. We were kind of like thinking, all right, am I going to get the $50,000 one? That's kind of expensive for a truck. And then, it's only $40,000. And that's before incentives. Like there's still going to be some incentives from states and, mm-hmm. Up in Canada and stuff. So price is amazing. Like for that thing, I mean, so that's the big question. Is this thing so polarizing that any, like, will any normal pickup truck owner go out and get this, or are they going to go get a Rivian?
Yeah, well, you're right. That's a big question, but the answer, I think it's more, has to be nuanced. Like, for sure, not everyone's going to want that. A lot of people is going to look at it and say, ah, that's too funky for me. I'm not getting in that thing. However, a lot of people are just going to look at the price, going to look at the specs, and are going to want that truck no matter what, because it just makes so much sense financially. I mean, if you have a pickup truck and you use it relatively often, you put some decent mileage on it, you have to do the math on how much you spend on gas and how much that thing is going to save you. It's gonna be massive. It's going to make a big difference. So I think a lot of people are going to do that, Matt. A lot of people are going to realize that it makes sense for them. Now, on the design side of things, I think Tesla could have charged a lot more for that truck, just because it's like, it's so crazy looking that a bunch of people would have just, I want it no matter what. Like, but to their credit, they went really with try to bring that cost down to make it available to as many people as possible, which is a good thing. And I mean, when you look at the price, because even the 500 mile version of the truck starts at roughly $70,000 US, and we're talking about,
that's gonna have a huge battery.
Has to have a big battery, and right. It has a tri motor powertrain, which I assume is gonna be like the plate powertrain that Tesla's been talking about. Yep. Because if you look at the specs of it, like 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds for something that big with those huge tires and everything, I have to assume that that's the plate powertrain. So when you look at it like that, it has to mean that it is dependent. It relies on a big cost improvement, whether it is on the battery front.
Let's talk about the batteries. So on the battery, like, what is the top mileage? And that thing is huge, right? So it's got to be 200 kilowatts.
They didn't reveal the energy capacity of the battery packs. All they say, it's 500 plus miles on that top end version, and
which is crazy. Yeah,
the
because that's a huge, not aerodynamic truck.
Well, is it though? Like, I mean, it's not as aerodynamic as a sedan or anything like that. But for a truck, it has to be pretty aerodynamic, because once you have that just one straight line on the front. And the nose is also bended downward, so it is pretty aerodynamic on that front. The tire situation, the wheel wells are clearly not aerodynamic, I'll give you that. Then you have the back, which is completely covered. So it really has that needed droplet type of shape that you need. Like that teardrop shape that you need to have an aerodynamic design, just an extremely rough one in terms of the lines, which again brings me back to the cost. The fact that, I mean, you look at the lines of that truck, it's as simple as it gets. They really made something that looks crazy futuristic, looks good in my opinion, and they made it with as simple as lines as you can get, which I think is going to help a lot for the manufacturing of that truck, and that's how they reached that price. Now, speaking of that line going back from the top of the truck going back, you were in the truck. You did get a test ride, and you were sitting in the back, right?
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you guys saw the video, the live stream, but we did get to go ride in the back. I have to say, like, the lines were stunning, because, like, you know how it's sharp corners on the outside, on the inside as well. So it's the front is a sloping down glass, the back is another sloping down glass, and then you have the windshield. So it was pretty impressive. Like, it was very, like, stealthy.
Yeah.
Inside there. And then, you know, the truck bed is pretty big. It's not, you know, obviously it's not super huge, because you have that big cabin and the four doors, mm-hmm. but it still seems like there's quite a bit of room in there for, you know, ATVs or whatever.
Yeah. So the line where it drops sharply, it's basically right over your head when you're in the back seat, I guess. If I look at the entire right. pictures, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you felt good.
But there's plenty of headroom.
There's plenty of running room, right? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see? I didn't see the front middle seat in your test ride. Am I right about that?
There is a console there. It's not a bench seat.
Because on the picture, on the inside picture at Tesla release, there's a bench seat in the front row.
Oh, really? Yeah.
If you look at my post on it, I released a picture of it that Tesla put in their press kit. And there's definitely a bench seat. But it looks like it might be a folding one. So maybe it was folded if you say there was a center console there.
Yeah, and maybe I'm remembering.
No, I didn't see. At least I didn't see it open when in your test ride. So I thought it was. I could see there was a space between the driver and the front passenger. So there was.
Yeah, so they must have folded it down for the ride so that the people in the back could see out the front.
Yeah. So my thinking probably that was the front bench seat, but it is folding down. It was folded down in that case. All right. So that's interesting.
It's such a crazy design, though. It's like, it's so weird. Good weird, but it is very strange. I don't know if it's going to be popular.
Oh, man, I think it will be. Because everything else works. That's the thing. Like, for sure, it's hard to sell such an unconventional designs to people. But if you get everything else right, because it's not something that people can relate to. Like, it's not something that people wanted before Tesla released it, because they didn't even know it existed. They didn't even know you could make a car like that. I mean, sure, we've seen like some concepts from automakers before, but those things never end up to market. So now this is a product that Tesla is actually selling and plans to bring to market late 2021, 2022 for some of the versions. So now it is something that's possible. So now people can make actually a choice whether they would want this or not. The design might be a deal breaker for some people, but since everything else makes a ton of sense in terms of specs and pricing, I think a lot of people will go for it. And then once it's in the hands of customers, once it's on the market, I think it will become a new normal to a certain degree. Of course, it will always be a more aggressive design than anything else, I'm sure, for a foreseeable future. But I think at that point, then it will start picking up heat, because just everything else makes sense. It's insane. I mean, I'm working on Tesla Cybertruck versus Rivian R1T post. And you look at the specs comparison, it makes no sense. Of course, we don't have the pricing for the higher spec version of the R1T, but the R1T starts at $69,000. And that base version doesn't appear to be that competitive with Tesla's base version, other than having an all-wheel drive powertrain. So it's going to be a hard sell, I think, for most other auto manufacturers working on electric pickup trucks right now. I mean, today we had GM announcing 2021, fall of 2021, they're going to have their own electric pickup truck. Now Tesla Cybertruck, we know it's coming in late 2021. However, it sounds like just the two less expensive version of it is going to come in late 2021, and then the tri-motor version is going to come in 2022.
Which is weird, because Tesla usually does the expensive one first.
Except for the Model 3. Model 3 performance version came out a bit later than the rest. And also, I just don't know how popular the single motor version will be. I think a lot of people want all-wheel drive for their pickup trucks. Then 300 miles of range, that 50 miles of range difference, not a lot, maybe. I feel like people will buy the base version if the kind of people that buy pickup trucks but don't use them as pickup trucks, meaning that they don't do any like hard work with it. They don't do loads that much. They don't tow that much. things like that, they might go for it. But for people that actually want to use it as a pickup truck, I think the dual motor all-wheel drive version, at the very least, they would go with that. And that thing starts at $50,000 too, so not that bad either. So pretty excited on that front. And yeah, my what it comes down to, I think, is it's really, this is hiding some big cost improvement from Tesla, either on the battery front, almost certainly on the battery front, and probably in the overall manufacturing front in terms of the platform that they built for that truck.
Yeah, they're talking about this the exoskeleton thing, which I thought was pretty interesting. You know, that was part of their reveal, and you know, with the sledgehammer, you know, I think that's going to be a big selling point for a lot of people.
So what I understand from that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding is that instead of having a usual platform and then attaching a body to it, the actual body of the car, like the exterior of the car, is the frame, is the platform on which it's built. All right. So that's interesting, because my thought was that Tesla is going to build up that pickup truck platform and then release different vehicles on it, like maybe a commercial van or like a smaller truck, a commercial truck type of thing. But now that's cannot happen, because the body is the platform. So the form factor is what it is, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I mean, we saw with the sledgehammer, I'm curious, like, what happens if you get into an accident? I mean, if the body is your frame and you get a dent in your body, are you like, did you total your car? If like fender bender?
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that fender bender don't exist anymore with that, because it's so solid.
Theoretically.
Of course, theoretically it still remains to be seen, like to be proven.
And also, how thick is that steel on the outside? I mean, it must be quite thick. I wonder if that really helps with the weight, or maybe it makes it even heavier. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. He said that the weight is similar to F-150, which would be surprising, because electric vehicles are historically heavier than their gasoline-powered counterpart because of the large battery pack. Yeah. And the larger the battery pack, the more it's the case. However, if you look at Tesla's history, with Model S was heavier than the average sedan in its segment. The Model X a little bit heavier than the average SUV in its segment. Model 3 is on par with the midsize sedan, though. So Tesla has been closing the gap on that front. Now, I thought they would lose some of that with the pickup truck again, because the batteries just needs to be so much bigger. Maybe it's not the case, according to Elon, at least. One more interesting thing that I thought through from that, the range is clearly about just about the truck with the bed being closed and not towing anything, not having a load or anything like that. So it would be interesting for Tesla to release some stats about the truck with a certain load, with the bed open or not. If you need it open, if you're just carrying some plywood or anything like that, you need the bed open for that, since it's a 6.5 bed, foot bed. So I would assume that the efficiency goes way down with that. So I'd like for Tesla to release some stats on that front. Of course, what did you think of the one more thing, the Cyber Quad?
You know, it's cool. There's other quads out there that are cyber. So, you know, I don't think there was anything too, like, super big deal about that.
You know, really? Electric ones?
Quads? I feel like we followed some of them. Anyway, I mean, the quad market isn't huge. It's fun. This one in particular looks a little bit sharp. The corners look a little sharp. Like, if you fell over it or something, you would probably hurt yourself. But I don't know. I'm not a quad person. I don't know this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the look, they clearly made some similar lines as the Cybertruck. But no, I thought it looked awesome. I thought it looks really like a stealth, all black. It looked great like that. And the fact that you can just put it on top of your pickup and then plug it in. So as you drive or as it's idle and on the truck, it's actually charging the quad. It's a very great concept, that's cool. I think. And of course, I think that will translate to other things. I mean, I'm sure you could have a snowmobile, an electric snowmobile, and charge it like that. And we said that something, Taiga Motors, we did an electric snowmobile and an electric jet ski. And that was their idea. If there's somebody that pick up truck, is to have a plug on it, and they could charge their recreational electric vehicle at the same time. So that's a great move from Tesla, I think, to do that. And it relieves some of the range anxiety that people might have. So, I mean, would be a great truck to go hunting or something like that. You can pull the ATV out, and it looks like it fits perfectly to in the truck, so it really complements the truck. However, it didn't say anything about making it available. But Tesla is not in the habit of unveiling a prototype and not making it available, so I would assume that it's in the plans, even though they didn't confirm it.
Feels like an accessory for the truck almost, especially the charges there. You know what was also cool is the they mentioned that it would power 220 or 110 volt applications. Mm-hmm. And with the amount of battery pack in there, if it's a 200 kilowatt hour battery pack, I mean, that can power a house. Like if you're on a construction site and you put a 220 into there and it can pull out 40 amps or whatever, that can power a house that you're building, including drills and power equipment, for days. Mm-hmm. I mean, you bring that out to the work site, you put that into the main line, and your whole house is running for days. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very popular truck for the construction workers, for sure. In several commercial markets, I think it's going to be the truck to buy right now.
It's just that design. That design is going to take some time. It's going to take some time.
People especially are in the commercial space. Yeah, especially in the commercial space. It doesn't look like a truck that's like. I feel like if you write it off and your company is as an expense, you're like, what, this? You sure? But I think when you do the math, then it makes too much sense not to do it, that they will, because those construction workers, they do spend a ton of money in gas, and then if you need a generator on site to power your tools, and then if you can use those outlets directly on the trucks, it just makes so much sense. All right. Do you have any question?
I have five minutes, so let's head through the questions. Do you think it will float? There was some pre-announcement speculation that it might float or do it something like that. I think if it did, Elon would probably have mentioned it, but maybe it slipped by him at the end. So I don't
know. No, I'm sure. Well, if the battery pack is the full length of the platform and it is sealed, then yeah, it has a good chance of floating. But I wouldn't try it. don't try it.
If you have the big enough tires. Oh, speaking of that, I wonder if the 500 mile range is with like street tires. I feel like those tires. To get 500 miles of range, you would need like a megawatt or a megawatt hour battery.
Yeah, those tires were crazy. I'm surprised that they didn't mention anything about them, and because they didn't look like regular like large truck tires. They looked something about it.
They were not.
And the wheels.
Yeah, they were off-roaders.
And the wheels are clearly Teslas. They look like an aero cap wheel designed for the truck. So Tesla is definitely it's their own thing, or I mean, I'm sure the tires, they have a supplier for it, but it's their own design, so I'm surprised they didn't comment on that at all. Do we have any other comments or question to answer?
Yeah, let's see. All that power with outlets are going to be great for camping. That's really cool. Like, you basically can have like a widescreen TV and like a full kitchen, and basically you have like two or three days of house electricity, so you can bring it just about anything you want.
Yeah, on its website, Tesla also teased the camper configuration of the Tesla Cybertruck with a tent that fits on the back of the bed and everything. So also like some kind of kitchenette that comes out of the tailgate. So Very similar to what Rivian unveiled with their Kemper version, so that was interesting.
What do you think RJ is doing right now with him and Bezos are watching the reveal with the popcorn? Do you think high fives? Do you think they're like?
I mean, I'm sure that when the truck came out, they were like, "Bingo, we got them, we got them, it's over." But when the price came out, they probably went, "Oh no, whoa, yeah. What's going on here?" Hey, that range, that price? Wait, no, I mean, it doesn't make sense. So I'm sure there was some up and down in the watch party in the Bezos and RJ Scaringe house. But I mean, I don't think Rivian is dead. I mean, the fact that their pickup truck design is at least more conventional is going to be enough to convince some people to buy it for sure. But the specs, they need to do something about them, I think. We'll have to see what they charge for the higher end version of the truck, but if a 105 kilowatt hour version is $70,000 for them, and Tesla has, I have to assume that it's over 200 kilowatt hour, that 500 plus mile version, probably closer to 250, right? 250 kilowatts, I think, kilowatt hour. The 500 miles version versus the 185 version costing, I have to assume, over $100,000. So that's a big difference.
Yeah. They don't get the batteries just cheap. That's what the Gigafactory gives them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I have to kind of wrap it up here and get on my airplane. Man, what an event. You know, I think that shattering of the glass, like it's was bad for today and it's bad for tomorrow. Like, I'm sure the Wall Street Journal has already written a post about the smashing
glass. Oh, the memes are all over the place already. If you go on social media, the memes are there.
I'm sure. Yeah. And you'll see, I got a lot of good pictures of the, like, you know, whatever. But I think in the long run, it doesn't matter. Like, if they would have thrown a ball through a F-150 window, it would have broke, you know, much worse, I'm sure. So that's all going to pass. And the big question is, you know, does this design get widely adopted, or is it a fringe? You know, is it a little too fringy? Elon Musk said at one point, I can't remember when, he said, you know, if this design doesn't take off, we'll just make a normal truck. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about the design, I guess, or let's let it grow on us a little bit before we make any judgment on that.
But then they can also back themselves up with the reservation numbers. They started taking reservation, and they're only asking for $100 next time. So deposit keeps going down. So I'm sure they're going to get a ton of reservation, combining the fact just how huge of an event that was, plus the low deposit amount required. So yeah, I think it's going to be a big deal. So this was just about unloading our thoughts about the Cybertruck event right after Seth attended and I watched live and everything. We're going to have more posts coming up on Electrek about, I'm sure Seth has a full test ride experience post coming, I'm sure. And Jamie is still at the event right now and talking.
He's going to be there until they drag him out.
Yeah, he always does that. So at the Tesla event, so he's gonna have a few things to say. That might be tomorrow though, and I'm a few more things also I'm working on. We're gonna post, and tomorrow we're gonna have a full podcast about all the news of the week, because of course there was a ton of other news this week that came out of the Elioto show. Now Seth can officially talk about his Ford Mustang Mach-E experience without all that speculation and. So stay tuned for tomorrow's podcast. It's going to be an interesting one, too. Well, tomorrow.
All right, guys.
It's going to be later today, but
yeah.
Because it's the morning here already. All right. All right. See you soon. Ciao.
Take it easy.